Welcome to Ever Beyond, Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyond.info. And everbeyondradio.com. And
leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality. Ever beyond, 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 beyond.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning. This is Ever Beyond on everbeyondradio.com. Yeah, it really is. I've got my own website now. Yeah, really, my own .com. I've just been rewriting it this week, so there's going to be more and more exciting stuff. As I build the whole thing together, there's going to be more radio stuff, there's going to be more products. I'm going to have some products that you can buy off me, for instance. There'll be the usual readings and teachings and the archives and everything like that. But I had a big kind of crisis thing going on this weekend where I had to move all of my websites because the company that runs it and hosts it is going down. So I basically have to move everything and recreate it. So it's been a bit of an interesting week. Those of you who have been following Facebook will note that I was wearing a dicky bow last night. It was very good fun, and I drank loads of champagne, which I must say is a really nice thing to do. If it's real champagne, it's really nice. Hanging out with the posh and the hobnobs. So tonight my guest is a dear friend of mine, and we've been chatting back and forth for years and years now about what's going on in the galaxy, what's going on the world, what's going on under the surface. We will be discussing all of these places and more with my guest tonight, Tracy Kennedy. Welcome, Tracy. How are you tonight?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for inviting me on, JP.
Well, as I said, it's been a while, and we've been, you know, we like to have a regular update because you've been doing your shows, I mean, since we met in the chat room,
yes.
Years ago.
Yes, in the chat, and I was thinking about that today, and we've been discussing these things since 2008.
So we have. And not only have we been discussing them, but we've been watching them unfold as we've seen these things happen.
Yes. Yeah, it's been incredible, an incredible journey. You know, the good things, the bad things, the stuff we talk about, and then all of a sudden everyone else is talking about it, and I'm usually the one who sends a message. See, told ya.
Never one to say I told you so before everybody else.
Oh, I absolutely are. I am. I'm all about that. But, you know, we talk about stuff and then, well, it's like a domino effect everyone's experiencing now. And it's not to say that some people are slower than others. There are so many things going on. We're all just taking little pieces. And you and I have a tendency to try to absorb the big picture. And because of that, we see so many little things. Someone was asking me what my show was about, and I had a laugh.
Yeah, I bet.
Because you've heard my shows. My shows are about everything.
Yeah, so everything, yes.
I actually wrote a new mission statement. I've been working on my site, too. That's another thing. The internet seems to be just, sometimes it's just completely crashing, and you'll have a place for 4 years, and all of a sudden they've gone under. And we're seeing these things. So I guess basically what we talk about is we like learning new things and sharing them as we go on. Want to hear our input, want people to ask questions, which they do, and that's awesome. people have realized if they throw me a topic, I will usually come up with an answer to that question. It takes me a couple of days. But if it's out there, I will do my best to try to find it. And then, you know, you and I throw ideas off each other all the time. So, you know, I've always enjoyed the play between us and the ability to do that. We just kind of bounce these ideas back and forth as they come up. And so often, I'll be doing something, and then you'll talk about it, or you'll be doing something, then I'll talk about it, and then we both find out that we're doing it.
Yeah, it's like the Beatles and the Bee Gees.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, the Beach Boys. That's right, not the Bee Gees, the Beach Boys. That they would listen to each other's records and try and outdo them.
Well, it's like it's exactly like we're walking the same path. We don't always discuss it, but I find 9 times out of 10. You'll introduce a topic on Sunday, and that's what I planned for Tuesday.
Oh, so I'm sorry.
Oh, it's good. It's good. It's perfect.
So it gives a kind of background for. Well, you see, I don't experience it, but probably all of the listeners who are listening to. They're listening to your shows, and they're listening to mine, and they're listening to Dave's, and it's all coming. It's a thread that is being woven, and as the threads they kind of lock together and twist together, because we're all kind of coming from a very similar point of view.
And
producing something that appears to be coherently planned behind the scenes, but really, honestly, people, it's not. I mean, we're doing our own thing, but this is what it means to be in the flow, because the galactic flow flows for everybody, and flow is the same. And you know, this phenomenon has often been noticed on the Sunday shows. You know, we'll have Luce and her stuff, and then my show, and then Frank's show. And again, we're all coming from different positions, but we're all talking about the same subject from different angles. That is great. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I found that we usually have weekly themes, unplanned, always. And I just chuckle when I tune into your Sunday shows usually and say, yeah, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going to.
Excellent.
Because we see the same things and we feel the same things at the same time. You know, when we were talking off air earlier, when we started talking about the Shungite again, and I know people are getting sick of us talking about it, but the funny thing is, you know, I had bought some iceware a week before JP talked about it. Just a week. And I had never heard it mentioned anywhere, and you can check on turtleislandnews.info. I have a whole series of articles on it, because I try to find inexpensive ways for us to deal with all of the things going on, especially with the water, because water is so important. And it's amazing that we just do that. When you came on and started talking about it, I just laughed and went, yeah, I just bought some. It's working.
It's quite an interesting thing. So tell me, where did you find Shungite?
It was one of my, you know, sometimes I'm up in the middle of the night, and it's not even like I'm searching. It's almost like something's just given to me. I was searching more ways to energize the water, because, you know, I'm sensitive to electromagnetic activity. So, you know, I've been searching those kind of things for a long time. And that night, on a search, Shungite came up, and I hadn't even heard of it. And people who have listened to me before know that I hate pretty much everything. Not hate, not hate so much, it's a harsh word, but when people say, you know, this is a miracle thing, I'm like, okay, good. And next, you know, there's going to be fluffy bunnies and unicorns, and we're all going to hug and trot off into sundown. Never mind. And yet I thought, I'm going to try it, because I will try stuff. And tried it, and it worked. And when I say something works, it doesn't kind of work. It has to 100% work. I have to see night and day, not caused by anything else, a difference. And I have to be able to measure it, quantify it, and I take journals. How do you feel? Does it maintain itself? Can other people use it and the same thing happen? And more articles I read about that, that people have been using it for centuries. Centuries. It's new to us, but people have been using this for a long time. So that was very cool. That was another one of those cool synchronicities, I guess.
Indeed.
It called us, and we answered the call and spoke of it.
That's right. Well, it's come through the women. It's come through Nancy. And interestingly, it came through Nikki, because as I was talking on this show, she said, oh, I've got a piece. I said, well, can you bring it around next time you come? And so 2 days later, I had a piece in my hand, and it had exactly the feeling that I'd kind of... how do I feel it? Remote feel something. you know, if you put a photo of crystal, you can tune into the crystal and get what it feels like. So I was looking at these pictures of Shungite, yes. And I thought, it's got to be really, it's that cool feeling. And you know, she gave me the piece. It was a tiny little obelisk, about 3 inches long. And I just had it in my hand, couldn't let go of it, couldn't put it down. It was just cool, it was cooling. I felt like all this fire and stress that was in me was like cooling down, chilling out, being calm. It has this interesting, serene energy about it.
Yes.
So tell me what it does to you, and how have you been ingesting it or using it in energetically?
I put some in a bag. I put it in, what is this called? Like muslin cloth that you use to strain and make cheese out of. That's muslin, right?
Cheese
people muslin. Know what I'm talking about. And I tied that, and I put that in my bath and sit with that, a little baking soda, a little bit of vinegar. I do this once a week, and it helps with pain. Pain is still something that I have to deal with far too often. It helps because I've been finding for the last 2 years, I've noticed it much. When I go outside, and I love the outside, I love walking, I have been hurt by the energetic vibrations that are out there. The constant electromagnetic smog, almost, you know, as if it was pollution, but it's different. And the constant Wi-Fi and the sounds, and our air sounds different, it tastes different, it feels different now. And I've been struggling with it, and I've noticed since I've had this in my house, I have pieces that I've put in my water treatment system, which is not just about purification, but energizing. And believe it or not, I want the water to have fun, so it spins around and goes through all these things and travels in a way it would travel naturally across some rocks. Now, to flow through my water system takes about 8 hours. So I'm not rushing the water. It takes a long time. But when it came out, and I did the young boy test, because they're even worse than me. They hate everything even more than I do. Not hate again. They just didn't believe it. they tasted a glass of that water. And there were three of them, and at first they said nothing. Then tried it again, and they said, the water tastes thicker, almost wetter, heavier, feels like food. And yeah. I went, so I'll take that as a yes. It passed the 22-year-old male test, and that's a hard thing to test and pass.
Yeah, so the feeling that I get from it, and of all of these conversations that I've had about this and water, is that it recreates the natural form of water, which is like a rope. It's twisted twistings around itself, and everything's counter-rotating and living, and yeah, it's globular. It's got a form to it that is almost tangible as a form, rather than it just being some molecular arrangement, you know, liquid, you know, like you see in a glass. Being in a glass, I think, is a very unnatural way that water is. It's always, you know, if you put you took a glass and then you poured it on the ground, it's no longer a glass of water. It's then breaking up into a zillion pieces and flooding through the water, the ground underneath it. You know, it's always on the move, and it's always breaking up and reforming.
I can help everyone feel that taste if you'll indulge me for a moment.
Okie doke.
So, if everyone just concentrates for a minute, remember when you were really young, if you still did this, and went outside first thing in the morning and there was dew on the grass. And you took up a piece of that grass and you tasted it. It's like that. It's like that taste. Taste that. That's what this water that I made. Now, of course, you know, I've done a Brazilian things to it. But it feels happier. And it makes me feel moistened by it. Because normally water, you know, I'm at that age where I have to go to the bathroom every friggin' 5 minutes. The girls out there, you know what I'm saying. This can stay with me, and it feels like it's hydrating my body, like actually working and staying there and making a difference. It's not... It's not just a thing or vitamin or eating a special diet. You know, it feels like all of a sudden something has joined me. It almost feels like an entity, to be honest. It feels alive. It feels alive. It feels like you're ingesting something alive, like dew. Taste it.
Living water.
Yes, feels alive. And even it's now part of the process it goes through. There is a plastic involved, and yeah, I'd rather have it in glass. But there's glass involved too, and it's not the kind that DuPont made to sterilize all the males. It's different. I'm telling you 100%, and if I didn't believe it, I'd be saying, crap, and pressing the, you know, eject buzzer. But it's different. I'm playing music to it. I learned that from wineries, believe it or not, wineries in Niagara and here and all over the world who apparently have been doing this forever, and I didn't know. Even the little things, and a lot of people think the stuff that we talk about is new. It's not. Do you know that people who are really into drinking wines have done these things forever? When they take wine out of a bottle, they usually have something called an aerizer and a filter. So they're putting it through a filter, which is like a funnel. So that immediately vortexes it. But before it goes through that, they usually have something that looks like a spiral. They pour it in there, let the water spiral twice before it goes into the bottle or goes from the bottle to the glass. They knew this, and they use it as a technology. And it's a technology, as far as I can tell, 200 years old. They knew that made wine taste better. This makes water taste better. So I play music. I actually put headphones, believe it or not, up to the water system and play it with my voice, with certain tones, because there's proven tones that help water. It's not so much the sounds and the words that you say, although those make a difference too.
You could probably attach a pair of those Bud earphones to your water pipe, and it will magnetically relate the sound as well.
Absolutely.
Like a magnetic tape.
Yes. I've tried doing several things, because I've been researching this a lot lately, certain images, and I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know, I was looking at Egyptian images again, the things that are scribed on walls, that are scribed all over, and not looking at them so much as if they're supposed to be hypothetical. Looking at them and saying, looking at them as if they're telling a specific story. The stuff in their hand is a specific thing for a specific purpose. It's a tool. And when it's over water, that's a good friggin' idea. So I have made some designs, pasted them to water outlets in my house and to all of the, because there's a lot of electrical things here, and done stuff like that. And my house feels different, sounds different, and I feel it's different in here. I can come in and I immediately feel better. Now, I still go through tired times, but being aware, and I guess this is what it comes down to. I'm not just walking through my life with my eyes closed, which I have to admit, as much as we talk about things, it's pretty easy to do that, especially for me. But being aware of absolutely everything I do, whether it's sitting up, lying down, if it's taking a drink of water, if it's pouring a glass of wine, if it's eating food, I am conscious of what I'm doing. And I've tried to instill this consciousness into everything in my home to know that I care for it. May sound funny, but there's a difference, and you can probably hear in my voice. I've had the toughest 8 months since I've gone through this thing they call MS. The toughest, again, was told I'm not going to recover. I'm never going to be outside walking. And yet, you know, you guys know I'm doing it. Doing that, it's not easy. I'm not skipping or anything. But I'm getting better. I can actually feel it. And even all the energies that are around me. I'm in an apartment building. So my little work here in this one little apartment shouldn't make a difference. Shouldn't make a difference at all. But it is. And I can feel it. And everyone in the building seems different. I go out in the hallway in the morning, you know, to go and do my walk, and people are out there, they're very chatty, they seem calmer, people on my walks. I'm trying to get other people to do these kind of things in town, to whatever they're using for their energy. Of course, you know, if it's singing or dancing or making things or whatever, for us to work together to energize this place. And I'd like to make this a global movement. Let's energize all these places. Tell each other we're doing it. By telling each other we're doing it, we connect ourselves to a new grid. We need a new grid, not the old one. The old one didn't work.
So many people are talking about building grids in their dreams, in their night experiences, in their communications with their guides, lots of 12s popping up. What sort of grids are you receiving in your, how am I saying, intuitions? And, you know, how?
Well, I've moved into a very strategic place. I may have been unaware consciously that I was doing that, but I'm on the sixth floor in a white obelisk. I live in a great big white obelisk. That's what it looks like, my building. It looks different than most apartment buildings. It's the only one I've seen that does not have four corners, which is awesome. None of my rooms have four corners either, which also is awesome. I'm surrounded by a river that has rapids, and it's energetic. I'm also surrounded by churches, and even the other kind of power structures like the courthouse, the hospitals, cemeteries, things like that, and I've mapped them out all around us. So I'm saying these kind of energies, because they're built on a specific thing. These are not accidents. And wherever you guys go, anywhere you're living, you will probably find that if you look at a map of where you're living, there are strategic places and you can find them. Just put where all of those kind of power buildings are. And what I've been asking people to do is, if you live by a church or a jail or a courthouse or a hospital or a market is really good too, to do little things like bury something energetic close to it. I am not trying to dispel that energy other than to translate it, to tell it we know it's there, so that we, again, can tap into all the energies on the planet that somebody who was building every single city, every single town knew about, or they wouldn't be made up in the way they are. I'm just asking for it to be rechanneled. That's all. Rechanneled, not killed, not destroyed, not fighting against, not disabling, just saying, you know what, we're here, not against you. And if we, as a people, forget to listen to all the crap that's going on, and there's a lot. We are in a difficult time, even cosmically right now. You know, there would be no wars if people didn't fight them. Simple solution, don't be a soldier. Sorry, but if nobody went out to kill, it would stop. That's what I'm doing, and that's what I want everyone to do. Whatever you do, if it's drawing, again, whatever way that makes you feel nice, macrame is incredible now that I'm looking at it from different eyes. Look at those images you're making. Those are the best, most magnificent tree of life structures I've ever seen. These kind of things we can all do together.
Have you ever seen the fractals in 3D? When you take a fractal and put it into 3D, it looks like macrame, yeah.
Yes, very much. Very much. And, you know, all the old crocheting and the hook rug carpets, look at those again and realize everyone knew these things in their hearts because they made them. These were power things. We should put those things back up. We should start doing them again. Enough of us do them. We could at least connect to grid, and if okay, if there isn't 7 billion people feeling it, there could at least be 1 billion. Enough of us could do this to make a difference, because I think right now, guys, we're in a time that, well, we've been talking since 2008, Jay, and that was the last minimum solar activity and cosmic activity even. And when that activity is low, this is when civilizations collapse. And just look at what happened in 2008. People forgot. We are in that now. We are at the lowest point. This solar cycle should be huge right now. It hasn't been this low in 400 years. This is a big deal. Last time it did it, here comes the Black Death and almost wiped out civilization as we know it. While that was happening, there were some enlightened people as well. So the split that you've always talked about, Jay, is already here. And some of us are working together. I'm actually even talking to people. You know, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Not known for your being, what's the word, a party animal.
Well, no.
You are a bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. It depends. But anyway, we won't talk about that.
Okay. It depends, but... you know, I'm talking to people and asking them to help and asking their opinions on stuff and saying, you know, if we're not going to work together now, of course, everybody to their own selves. If they want to go, go. Of course. Of course. Do what you're going to do. Of course. I'm not the boss of anybody, but there's a chance for at least us to feel better, because there's a whole bunch of people who are not feeling better. There's another mass shooting today, some young rich boy who went out specifically to kill women. There's a worldwide slaughter of women going on right now as we speak. And being one, I'm a little sensitive to this.
Yeah, right. Well, I very much enjoy the presence of women around me, so it would be... that wouldn't be so good anyway. So I'm just thinking about China, who slaughtered a lot of babies, female babies, creating a lot of men.
Every minute. Two women every minute die in China.
And that's going to create a lot of men.
Yeah, and they're already there. They're already there. In China and India, the two places that at one point in the world had the friggin' culture. Look at their ancient temples. All you see is sex, which there are women involved. And they went from that to, you know, now they only want boys and they're slaughtering each other. And, you know, that was done by design, of course. Of course. The most beautiful things that we've had on this planet have been corrupted, but not all, and not forever. But some of the best things that we had have turned to such filth that it's terrifying. It's terrifying. So instead of wallowing in the terror, because, you know, that might as well, you might as well die if you're going to do that. You might as well just give up. Try to find what's good. It doesn't mean that I'm ignoring what's bad. I'm just realizing that I'm not a part of that anymore. It still goes on. I can't stop it. I can't make anyone stop what they're doing. I can't. I will not take down a government. I will not end a society. I will not even end someone's opinion of something. What I can do is that the people on the edge that probably in their hearts already know this will just be triggered to step a little bit to the side, and that's all it takes, a little sidestep to change everything in your life.
You know, we're... It, like you say, it's a very small adjustment. And what I'm finding is that life seems so painful with certain things, like even, you know, something smelling bad. It's like it's telling you this is not for you. It's like something that, you know, tastes bitter the minute you taste it. Okay, then, you know, it's not for me. And it's almost like I'm getting to the point when if I hear somebody's voice, I can tell exactly, like, 40 years down the line how I'm going to feel about them. Just from this moment. That's how energetically oversensitive I feel. And whether I'm right or not, I don't know. But it's that kind of... I'm feeling like this will work and that won't work. I want this and I don't want this. It's really, really clear and sharp. It's not very nice. But it's making choices a little easier for me. Are you experiencing that?
Things are ending faster. If they're wrong, even if you don't want them to end, they will. I'm finding a lot of that. And the sense of urgency that I was feeling a couple months ago, I no longer feel, because now I feel that I've gone over the bump sort of thing. It doesn't mean that life is going to be all peaches and cream, but I'm now seeing what I need to do for me, and that was unclear. The stuff that was working before had stopped working, and energetically there were a lot of things attacking me, if I can say that. I felt under attack since October last year till March. I thought that something was really trying to get me out of here, and I almost gave up. Almost, you know, so my relationship with myself, I almost dismembered it and said, no, this isn't living. I don't want to be here. I don't want to see this pain. I don't want to see this misery. I don't see it. I can't even say exactly or put into words what changed, JP. I've done so much in my life, and I've always worked towards energy. I've always, you know, I was one of the lucky ones that I was taught different ways to deal with things, but since I was a child, how to control my dreams, how to control my breath, how to use my body. But when my body was taken from me, I was at a loss. That was a big thing for me. That was my ground. That was my anchor. I had always had my body. I was always an athlete, always flexible. When I lost that, like really lost it this time, I had to decide what it is about Tracy that mattered to me. Because for a while, it looked like I wasn't getting that back. And when I realized there was something much greater still than I had seen in a very long time, I realized I had to fight for Tracy again. The child that I once was, you know, when I was little, they used to joke about me. Like, my family was very open-minded, surprisingly so, in the 70s. That, you know, I would come in and say, I saw something. Immediately my uncles would be quiet and it's like, where was it? Because they'd want to go out and find it. And usually did. People just believed me. My family believed me. And they would usually see what I'm seeing. So I didn't have a lot of the disconnect where nobody believed me so much. It was later when that kind of stuff started to happen, you know, school system. And I realized, wow, I'm so not like these people. So I remembered that girl again. And then my strength started coming back. My will started coming back when I was able to do things that I stopped doing things that I shouldn't be doing. And sometimes do things and it didn't hurt me. Because I believed I was powerful again. That's a big change.
So you've gone inside and come through the other side, and
yes.
Are now on the expansion phase.
Yeah, it's changing. It, even, you know, when I go on my little walks, everybody says hi to me. And not just hi as they're walking by. They stop and talk to me. My walks, that it's probably a 5-minute walk where I'm going, but it takes me an hour. Because everyone who passes me stops and chats. That hasn't happened since I was a kid. That's a really nice sign. That's how I know what I'm doing is right.
Stop and chats. Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah,
when people are drawn to me, I know that I'm back into myself.
Yeah, it's because it's, you're getting back into the heart of yourself, and that's the ray to love ray, and it's something that when we first when I first read you, you had these rays, and I do remember saying, you know, you're personable. People would come up to you, so that's good.
They do. I go through the market, and half my bag is people have given me stuff. Mom noticed that when I went to the market with her yesterday, and she was laughing. Somebody just gave me an apple. She goes, "I just paid for stuff. He gave you the treat." She goes, "It's so nice to see that again." Because I guess people used to do that when I was a kid. And it wasn't because, you know, I was out being anything. I wasn't saying anything. I wasn't being anything. I wasn't dressed up. I wasn't anything. I was just being there. And people are attracted to me. They need to talk to me. It makes them feel better. And that doesn't bother me anymore. For a while, that bothered me. Even contact bothered me at all. And it doesn't. So, yeah. Is it the shungite? That could be part of it.
Helps.
I'm doing a lot of things, but there's definitely, there's 100% a help with me dealing with the environment, because the environment is different right now. And we're not going to get this back. It's going to take a very, very long time and some magic to change it.
Well, the more grids we can involve, and it seems that it's like the combination of quartz and shungite as well. And I noticed that on some of these sites, they get another piece of rock, which is something like tuvalite or something, maybe from Tuva, and you get one and the other, like a Urim and Tumim, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, because I bought that too. And some quartz. I have a quartz, shungite, tuvalite, and I know they use this one in India and all through Africa. And I have it as a necklace. You know, most days I can't wear it because it's so powerful. I feel this burst of energy, and then I have to nap for like 4 hours. So I like sleep through an entire show or something. There's so much. There's so much out there. And I feel really positive about the changes that are going on right now. I do. I feel good. But I also realize that it's not going to be good for everyone. And things are not stopping. And the world is not becoming a nicer place. It's not. As a matter of fact, they're ramping up the terror. But it doesn't mean that we personally have to feel that.
The way I feel about this is that, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like we, Dave, you, me, Rebecca, everybody, Katie, goes through a kind of personal hell during their awakening experience, live on air, so that when people go through theirs, they recognize what's going on, they move through it much more quickly, and they don't suffer as much as we have. That's the hope, isn't it?
I don't know why it happens, but I know I do. So at least people can realize they're not alone feeling these things. Yeah, it's the cycles that I go through are terrific, and yeah, it's live on air. You guys get to hear the real Tracy, how I'm feeling at that moment. Good or bad. You know, I'm not pretending to be something. I'm just being, and sometimes I'm not nice. I'm not a nice person. Not always. If I'm in pain, you'll know it. If I'm happy, you'll know it. And we're all like that, and it's okay to be like that. It's okay to have emotions. We're told we're not supposed to. We're supposed to be like this calm, over-medicated being, which we pretty much all are, because they've sprayed in our skies, it's in our water, it's everywhere across the planet. So the ones of us who are still continuing on, you know, it's not even a matter of winning anymore, it's just, do you want to be here? And I think a lot of people are making that choice. Do you want to live? What is life to you? Like, people are looking at that for the first time. What is life? And are you living? And unfortunately, a lot of people, when they ask that question, realize that their answer is no. They're getting up, they're making the coffee, they're putting on their pants, they're going to work, coming back, having a few drinks, watching TV, going to bed. Next day, they're doing the whole thing. And what's worse, some of them even dream about it at night, the exact same freaking stuff. So, you know, you're doing that for free. No one's paying you for that. You're stuck in a wheel. You're stuck in the cube. And that can't be by accident. We're not meant for that kind of life.
Give me a hamster ball any day.
No, thank you. I went off the wheel.
You contaminated and know it, Claudia. Yeah. You're funny, Sam. So, do you feel like you went through the vortex in your heart and have now come back on the other side renewed?
Yes. Yeah, I feel that I am being changed. And it's not just the little voices in my head. People are seeing it. They can see it. They can look at me. You know, for the last, again, 8 months, I've even had to have my food delivered. And you notice when people look at you, they judge you right away, right? That happens with everyone. There's a different vibe, and I don't know if you as a man have felt this, so I want to hear your opinion. As you're judged, and if someone looks at you and thinks, oh God, you're fat, you're really sick, you're ugly, part of them steps back a little bit. It's almost like you're contagious. They don't want to catch that. I've noticed in the last little while, because I still have to have stuff delivered here, I no longer have a car, and I certainly shouldn't be on the road, but just the smile when I open the door, it's different. It's kind of like, hey, how you doing? And don't smile at me. I'm related to everything that's ever been on this planet. Apparently, I am not a safe one to be around. if you're a hominid.
If you're a hominid, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Just about.
Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about DNA, and you've been researching your DNA, and you've discovered yes. some interesting, as you say, hominid relatives. It's quite interesting because you're talking about the German research in the 30s and things like that. So do you want to take us through?
I was just saying that you and I have talked about so many times.
Yeah. But, tell all our friends who have not heard of all these, things. So, this is through your mother's line. You got some DNA. Oh, that's right. Damon got a DNA. Your son got a DNA test for his birthday.
Yes, that's what he wanted. There's this really fancy one that will tell you not only the really ancient DNA, which comes from Africa, and they say how your people journeyed and where they went, and they also tell you who you're related to most on this planet right now. And they have identified two other hominid species that they put on the list, although they will tell you if there are others that you're related to. So, long story short, his mother's side is German. I'm German. I went, what? How am I German? So, the German line on my mother's side is surprisingly enough before Germany, and they had to go all up north and stuff, was Tibet, then before that India, then certain parts of North Africa, then kind of mid-Africa, so kind of Ethiopia-ish. They had stayed a long time around North Africa, so Hamas and things like that, Azerbaijan, as they traveled. But yeah, apparently I am some unnamed tribe of, they call it ancient human, I call it Yeti, from Tibet. And then I have Neanderthal and Denusian. So apparently everything they can actually name, I am.
Well.
And then on my dad's side, a lot of Mediterranean and African, Moorish. Actually, my dad came up, his male side, they said Tuscany, Italy, by Africa, and China. I've got a lot of Asian. Who knew? When it came up German, I went, what? So that explains me wanting to take over the world and stuff, yes. And when we've talked in other times about where precisely the Germans went to study, where did they look for ancient artifacts when they were trying to check their lineage, they went to Tibet and they went to India, so they knew this. They knew. Doesn't that blow your friggin' Aryan mind?
my bald, blue-eyed, yeah.
So I guess I explain all the dark-haired, dark-eyed people. They're black.
So it's the curly hair thing, that doesn't go away, does it?
No, it doesn't go away forever. It will always come back. Always come back. And occasionally you'll get somebody with a blue eye because of the genetic change that happened sometime, a whole across the entire planet at the exact same time. Sometimes you get that, but usually if your DNA can go back, it will go back to dark-eyed, dark-haired. It just will.
Well, my dad had dark hair, dark eyes, but my mum had blue eyes and red hair. So
the mum's hazel eyes.
And, yeah. Oh, actually, that's interesting. My ex-wife's eyes, she had steely blue eyes when I first met her, and I looked at her eyes last night. I said, "Your eyes have gone green." She said, "Yeah." And her father had steely blue eyed, or has steely blue eyes, and her mother has green eyes. So it's like she's gone over to her mother's DNA.
Is German as well?
Actually, she was born in Germany. And there's a sort of Italiano lineage. It's that kind of very thin bird-like...
it's in there too.
Very tall and thin.
Yeah. Probably her Sasquatch Tibetan DNA. That made me laugh. They didn't say Sasquatch on the thing. I made that up. I said, okay, so that's our Yeti side.
So... no kidding.
It didn't say Yeti. I said it said unknown hominid. That's a Yeti.
Could be, yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
What else?
Interesting. Yeah.
You know, it could be a magic thing. I just want to throw a name at that.
Could be a unicorn. You might be part unicorn.
Could be a unicorn. I have a picture. I have a glass unicorn. In the other room could be unicorn. Hominid. I'm thinking, I'm hoping, and apparently on both sides of my family, my people were a little open-minded on species stuff. Because of the Neanderthal in this movie and kind of thing. So,
great Uncle Chi-Chi.
Yeah. No, shave him, you know, it'd be just fine.
Imagine. Give the boy a hat. Bring him to church next Sunday.
Look, can you provide meat to the table? Close enough.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that was a surprise. That was a surprise.
So, yeah, so we go back. We go way back. That's, yeah, there's some interesting thoughts in that.
There's so much. So, I guess long story short, because, you know, there was a deep, deep lineage, and they talked about the first tribe that I was related to in Africa and all this stuff. And, you know, if you're on this planet, which I'm guessing if you're listening, you are, and those that aren't on this planet, thank you for tuning in.
If you're listening to the archive in 2347 on the third moon of Arcturus, then welcome to Wolf Spirit Radio, No Borders Radio, and everbeyondradio.com.
So my son and I are what you're going to get. 100 years from now, everyone's going to look like us. And it's so funny, you know, when I was telling my dad our results, he said that when I was a kid, I wrote a story that was actually published. And it was about this group of kids that were going to be trained as leaders from all over the world, the majority, and all of them were mixed, different lineages, of course, and, you know, dark-skinned and blue-eyed and blue-eyed and light-skinned and red hair, dark-skinned, everything. Everything was mixed because it has to. We are made to do that, to take as many of the information of this planet that has been put here and to bring that into our bodies where we are what they were afraid of.
Us crossbreeds. The mongrels will inherit the earth. So this is very interesting because, you know, I think I mentioned it just before the show, but this is something that Andrew Bartzis had been talking about you know, like, what was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I was saying, like, what are we doing here? What's going on? Why are we here? And I keep asking it, and he keep coming back with the same response, which is that there was a deal made with the managers of this planet to blend these thousands of bloodlines into one being, which would be the human, that, which is essentially a skin suit that anybody in the universe can inhabit. And to that end, they have singularly failed, because they took all the what they thought were the good bloodlines and bred this strange little, you know, inbred weird thing with the big ears and stuff, that they think this is the noble creature, but it's got to be everybody. You know, the whole rainbow has to go into the mix. Otherwise you get, well, you get a muddy brown, don't you?
Well, you get me, who looks any kind of Anglo-Saxon ever in winter. Get some sun on me, and people start speaking slowly to me when they say hello, because they're not sure what island I'm from. And, you know, then you get all the blonde hair on my arm, which my son has, my dad has. And I was blonde until I was 7. Could be mermaid. Yes, could be mermaid. So my grandpa said, that's what she said.
Check this out. There we go. Takes a while to get going. It's approaching. It's coming this way. Natural Mystic. We'll be back in a few minutes. Bob Marley and the Wailers. Natural Mystic. One of my favorites. Ah, yes. And here together, Natural Mystics. Tracy, are you back with us? No, she's away. We'll be rejoining with Tracy in a moment. So, it's been quite an interesting week. Ah, there you are.
Are we back now? Sorry.
We're back. That's okay.
You know, Sam, when you mentioned mermaid, it's funny. I've told you guys about my grandma, who, you know, said some pretty off-the-wall things. And many of them have turned to be right. A couple of things I had just thought of, so I want to mention it. And she said mermaid. Actually, she talked about off-planet, too, believe it or not. And
hang on, who said this?
My grandmother.
Your grandmother?
Yeah. And she said that we were from an ancient line that came here from Mars, of all things, and settled, you know. She said some of them became the Zulu race, but Merovingians, she thinks, were Martians. And this was before I had heard anyone talk about Merovingians. She's also the one who taught me to control my dreams at night, and she called that your second life, and it's as or more important than what you see during the day. She said you can control during the day if you can control in your second life. And then when I found this video game called Second Life, I wouldn't even play it because I went, that's spooky.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that when you said that. It's like, right? Your second life. God, I could market something like that. Tracy, just imagine if you'd have thought, I could have marketed that. Your second life. You could have written that game.
And what did they do? I could have written that game exactly. You decide what you're going to be, what you're going to wear, where you're going to go, where you're going to live, who you're going to be with, what you're going to do in your life. It's exactly how she trained me to sleep. Yeah, somebody else's grandmother knew this. That's what I'm
thinking. Right. So, naturally mystic, flowing through the dream world. I can't say that I've had any significant dreams in the last few months. I just seem to wake up in a cold sweat, as you say.
Really nightmares lately?
Say that again?
Have you been having nightmares lately?
I don't know. I just wake up sweating, but I'm just hot, you know, I'm just really hot. So yeah. I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I'm weightlifting. But one thing is that I am actually physically losing weight.
I was going to say that.
My body is kind of losing that flabbiness, that tossing liquidity.
You know what? That's happening to me because I had lost all muscle tone because of, you know, this time. That not walking will do that to you.
Yeah, atrophy. Yeah.
Oh, it was bad. It was really bad. It still is. But it's miraculous how I'm changing in such a short time. And I can't do much, really, right now. But I'm being helped. And I have to say that I feel that. And I'm being helped by everything around me. I feel it.
So, let's talk about hylozoism. The universe is alive, and we are its existence in this plane, in this place.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of the show. here's Tracy with the weather.
Okay, good. Today is bright and sunny in Ontario, Canada. Finally done snow, and we got some green grass outside, and beautiful buds and blooms, and it looks absolutely gorgeous out today. Gorgeous, gorgeous day. So that's the weather. You know, we could talk about the panspermia thing. I've been trying so much not to make everything sound so sexual, but, you know, it's just so hard.
It's so hard.
It's so hard. And apparently that runs in my bloodline, so there you go.
So, maybe your blood is running hot. I don't know, maybe I'm a porn star in my dreams, I don't know. But anyway, listen, calm down, ladies. No, really, it's what's going on in what we are led to believe is the real world, in the 3D world, let's say. It has its reflections in the spiritual world. You know, you've been restricted to your home environment, you know, just a very small environment for a while.
Oh my God, yeah.
So have I. I don't go anywhere. And I'm fine with it. I'm fine with just being on a very small piece of land. If I need to take a walk, I can walk round.
You've done such lovely things, though, with your place.
Yeah, and very many thanks to Wolf Baby for I mean, she's an incredible worker and really can. She does things so neatly, you know. I'm such a ruffian with things, and she's really delicate with things. I really admire her for that, for being able to do these very precise and delicate things, and sowing all the seeds and digging the garden. I mean, just incredible. So if you are in the area and you want a great garden, do employ Wolf Baby. She's too cheap. And you know, she's too inexpensive, so I want you to give her lots of money and make her lots of jobs in the north of Scotland, of course. Well, actually, anywhere, yeah, wherever you are. If you want your garden done, I mean, she'll do it. Yeah, I'm volunteering you, darling. But I mean, you know, if you want, might get a trip to America out of it. If somebody wants that, or anywhere in the world, who might be listening to this?
You never know. You yeah. absolutely never know. Because I think the other thing that's changing is people are reaching out to each other. The small group of us who are distancing ourselves from the politics and said crapola in general are banding together, you know, asking each other for help and talking to each other, you know, are reaching out and helping each other. Someone was telling me about these mushrooms that are supposed to really help with nerve damage. And I said, well, it sounds great. And I will try a lot of stuff. I can't afford it. And then just sent it to me. I didn't even ask. And people's hearts are opening as well. Even with the horrific things that are going on. There's a whole bunch of beauty. And you can tell, like, our group is getting narrower and narrower. But we're coming together, and that's beautiful. I like it.
It's this grid that we're talking about. Everybody's making their grids. You know, some are doing it in their own homes, like you're saying. Yeah, and like I say, Nikki's, she's got her grids in the, and she does healing grids and puts them, and she's in line with this big obelisk in town and this church thing just down the road and all that stuff. So she is sort of placed in this kind of vortex center there, doing the work up in the tower block, like yourself.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's more and more people becoming aware of that, and you know, the old gardens, the Mohawk ones, were made like the wheel design in most of the native hoops. They were made like that, so that certain times of the year you had certain things growing in them, and they were made for sun alignments, moon alignments too, and more people are getting into that and realizing that it's vibration and energy and everything else is just alive as we are, and that's incredible.
Hilo Zoistic.
Yeah.
People are hearing Gaia.
Yes.
More and more. Again, we've been talking about this for a few years. That, you know, this is how it was back in the day that everybody heard her, and now we're hearing her more and more. And I think that her voice is getting louder because I got the feeling that she's been slugged one and has come and is just kind of coming around. You know, just kind of waking up from the unconscious period after being slugged one, which to our thing is about 10,000 years or so.
They're telling us that we've had 8 major extinctions on this planet. After every extinction, the major ones, something has lived. So maybe this is how she's choosing. And right now, in this 400-year galactic glow that is causing a huge amount of pressure on this planet, even DARPA is paying attention to it. Even quantum physicists are paying attention to it. That she's choosing her ones, her people. She's picking us. She's choosing us. And she is setting us on a path. And if you're listening, you're chosen. It's the only way I can say it. Or you wouldn't listen. Why would you listen to this? You'd listen to someone screaming and yelling and talking about the massacre that just happened in the States today. And I'm sure that'll be going on for the next 2 weeks because there's nothing more juicy than terror porn. Oh, and of course he's related to a big time director, so you know it's going to be a bloodbath of people getting into it. You know what?
What?
Even when I talked about it, Jay, when I was just doing, when Turtle Island News was just the news, and it was, and the news is it's always bad. When I let it affect me, it made me sick. And I realized, you know, I'm getting my news, even though I do try my best to really research my stories, I realized this is still what they want us to do. We wouldn't be on air if there wasn't so many forces trying to get us to do it. And even alternative media is feeded information. They've admitted this. It's not even a secret anymore. That they want us out there with our bullhorns and screaming instead of sitting down as a people and saying, you know, I'm working on my garden. I need some help with this plant or things like that, which we are doing. I'm working with my water. Should I do it? What stones should I use? Those kind of things. People are reaching out and helping each other. And the worst mistake they ever made was the internet. Because even though we sometimes listen and laugh, well, if it was on YouTube, must be true. But I felt that it's done some wonderful things. And I've made so many contacts because of that all over the world when I'm talking to somebody from, well, halfway across the world, like you, about really cool things and interesting stuff and things that will really help us. You know, you sound like you're right here. And none of the other things matter.
And what I'm finding, it's really great to see things coming up on Facebook that I was into and starting and getting going maybe 10, 12 years ago. And to see these things, you know, other people are doing this now. Other people are going to be doing these little sessions. Other people are, and it's like a model. You know, I created a thought form. This is the thing to do. Well, I didn't create it. It's a traditional thing. It's normal, actually, and it's not an unusual thing, but it's something that needs to be.
We're back to the ancient ones,
yeah,
right?
Ancient times when we would gather in a circle and we'd bring our sound and we'd bring a drum or we'd bring a flute or a string or this or that, or you'd tell the stories. And you gather every week. The thing is, in the old days, how did we know? Well, seven. I suppose we can count to seven. All right. Is that your cat saying it's time? She can count to seven.
Everyone, this is Magic. He is a very loud boy.
Hello, Magic.
And would just like to say hi right now.
Can you say seven?
Can you say seven, Kitty? There you go, close enough.
Yeah, that'll do. Well,
he shared an incredible story today.
Go ahead.
I'd like to tell you, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Well, there's this African tribe. I can't remember the name offhand. But when a woman in the tribe decides that she wants a child, she goes out to an ancient tree and sits alone and waits till she hears the song of a child. Of all the children who can come in, one song will be presented to her, or two, as the case will be. She comes in and teaches that song to her husband. And when they consciously make love, to bring forth this child, they're keeping this in their mind. When she becomes pregnant, she teaches a song to the midwives and the older women in the clan. And when the baby is born, she sings the song to the baby and presents the baby with the song that everyone learns. And when the child ages and in miraculous moments of their life, you know, as a coming of age, things like that, they sing this song. And even if the child is acting like antisocial at a time, instead of berating him, they get together and they sing that song again. I just thought that was so beautiful because, you know, we all do have a song. And we're singing that when they talk about race, and you know, they were talking about this and what they've been told as a child and prejudice and stuff. You know, it's been proven, guys, that there is no race. It is just melanin or lack of. There's no such thing as race. That was the biggest lie they ever told us. We have a song, and we're starting to sing it again. We're feeling the song of the mother. We're hearing our own voice. She's telling us what we need to do. And we are singing these songs to each other, back and forth. This is a beautiful time we're in. Yeah, there are scary things, but they're not for us. I truly believe that. It's not for me. Because I'm still here. I was told again that I wasn't going to get up from this. And yeah, here I am, up.
You will never do as you're told, will you?
Obviously. I refuse. No, I've never been a good listener that way. I always say no. My first reaction is no, in general, to anything. If it works for me, yes. But I have to say, this time, Jay, it was my real dark night. There was a moment there I thought, I can't do it. I allowed myself to despair for a minute. That's gone now. A series of things, and all of the love that I felt, you know, people, when there were months that, you know, I'd do a show once a week, I never knew when I was going to be able to even show up, and people were just waiting for me, and my friends were still talking to me and seeing how I was. It really meant a lot to me, still does. The support I have, I really felt it. And we've talked so many times, you and I, and how our choices make a difference in our life. What we think is happening makes an entire difference. You know, you can look at something as a nasty event. You could look at something as horrible. Or you can look at it and realize that was a process. You went through it. You probably chose and set yourself up to go into it. And when it's over, you're done with it. It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. It was what was needed at the time. You don't have to be ashamed or afraid or scared because you've been through a hard time. You get to choose to continue or not, or wallow in hate and live like that forever. Because I know some people who are very old, who are very, very old, who have lived in hatred their entire lives. So it doesn't even mean that that's going to make you sick in general. It's how you deal with everything you're feeling and going through. I've known some raging alcoholics that could walk to a store, write down a number, and immediately win a lottery every freaking time. They would spend that money on booze, and they would win again after. So the whole good and bad thing, I don't even believe in that anymore. But it's how you choose to live. If you want to live like that, then live like that. It's not my freaking business. But if you can use your power, you know, when we've been talking about conscious and subconscious and using your mind to do things and special drinks and special foods, all of that is true and all of that works. But there's one thing that can't be explained by all of this mysticism. How can a woman who is not an athlete, who is not trained, who is not a mystic, who does not have Shangha, who is not using special beads, pick up a car, rip the door off, and save her child? You will find when you look into these cases that these are not mystics. These are not enlightened people. They've just chose to do it at that moment. If they could do it, we could do it. All of the things we're doing are awesome. But know that we don't even really need that. If we could get to the point where we could be that mother or father saving our child and just tap into what we needed, then we've won. The only thing holding us back is ourselves, not our magic beads.
And it's the connection back to the unsullied self, the original self. This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about these initiations, because basically you have to accept that humanity's been traumatized and that we've got to kind of deprogram that, because we were traumatized and then reprogrammed. You know, they basically found a whole bunch of dazed people and set them up to be a kind of energy source, and that's got to stop, because you know, we're far too intelligent to be that. We are more than Duracells. So we're looking at reconnecting with the original program. So I'm sure that means it's going to be a lot of love involved. You know, lots of people have to fall in love with lots of other people from different races.
We have to believe. We have to know, or we have to do something that is horrific to us. We have to not think that and just do it. Just do whatever it is you need to do at that moment. We need to tap into that space that every single human on this planet can tap into without any preamble, and take that. That is our heritage. That is who we are. If one of us could do it, then all of us could do it. That's going to be my theme for next week, by the way. And I need to talk to you about something, because I'll tell you later.
If one of us can do it, then all of us can do it. Setting a precedent, setting what, this is what Luz talks about, setting a model, or modeling the role. You know, like we've always talked about role models, you know. And because we don't, what is a leader nowadays is not what a leader A should be and B used to be at certain points, it appears, perhaps, unless we're not to believe the hype, because it's always written by the victor history.
There's
usually the Rothschild. When it comes down to it.
That societies usually fall for the same, or civilizations fall for the same reason. Their technology outweighs their knowledge. For instance, Rome. Beautiful aqueducts. Incredible aqueducts. The richest people had hot and cold running water in their homes. Then we talk about emperors, hot and cold running water, baths, and toilets in their homes. But unfortunately, they were all lined with lead and mercury. That's why the Roman emperors went so friggin' crazy.
Destroyed by the toxicity of their own luxury.
Yes. We've decided we can split the atom. Let's use that. Not knowing and not thinking, hey, this crap is toxic. So we have built our own friggin' aquifers with lead and mercury, basically. It's still, when we learn some technologies, and even the ancient stories, we talk about Lemuria, or Mew, for people listening on my site, and like, shut up, there's no Lemuria, and I even said that, yes, there is. They mean Mew. Same place. They talk in all Polynesian countries.
Is that from the cat people?
Well, it's
Mew.
It could be, actually, surprisingly enough. But Mew is a place that was talked about. Anyway, Lemuria, Atlantis, all these places, all of us all over the world have a story of another place, an older place. And, you know, every day there's a new island friggin' popping up. And, you know, it's full of beautiful ancient art and everything. We die because we lose our awareness. I think that's what happens to us. We start doing and not feeling. You know, just little things. And you can test this in yourself when you get up and go make your coffee. Put the coffee down. And then pour it again into the cup. Pay attention to the coffee or the tea pouring into the cup. Be grateful for that. Grateful for the cup. Be aware of those things. Put your energy into that. Drink that coffee. Start your day being a little bit more aware. This is where I'm going next week. It makes a difference. This is what we can do on our conscious level. And the subconscious, which, you know, I've been talking about, is a good and a bad thing. When it's subconscious and it's a programmed response, it's a lot of reasons why people can't break habits, or, you know, you can quit smoking for 6 months and then one day you're driving to the store and you're supposed to be going there to pick up lettuce and tomatoes, and you come back with a cake and a pack of smokes and some beer. And you think, why did I just do that? And I forgot the lettuce and tomatoes. Why do you forget the lettuce and tomatoes? Because you are not being conscious of what you're doing. You let something else take over you. We're going to talk about that. And actually, I'm going to ask JP to come on and talk about some muscle testing things, and I would like to speak with him about integrating that into how we stop doing that.
I'd be pleased to. It's something that I do a lot now, you know, and even today.
You never do that.
I do muscle testing all the time for things, you know, and for rays. But for food, for instance, but actually today I followed my nose, and I didn't like the smell of that fish, so that's where, you know, the cat gets it. So next door neighbor's cat is going to have a good meal. I just didn't. Although muscle testing said it would be all right, I didn't like the smell of it, and I thought, no, I'm going to follow my nose, because it's like this. It's a very sensitive spirit detector, whether something's alive or not alive, I think.
I think so, too, and it's something consciously you're doing. So it taps into your subconscious and takes control of it instead of letting it take control of you. you're leading it to a path. And it starts going there, so we're going to talk about that and some dowsing. Dowsing, which I was actually taught as a child and forgot I was. I had this like mind-blowing memory. I was telling people this week about that. I went for a walk, and I'm watching what's around me, and I realized two trees were bent completely different than every other tree around them. They were facing away from the river. They were actually bent on such an angle that it looked like they were pointing to something, Jay. And the trees around them weren't. Actually, the trees in the middle of them weren't bent. So I felt this. It was like getting the heebie-jeebies. That's a technical term, by the way.
I'd whip my rods out.
That's right. Well, I didn't have any rods to whip, so I took my body in between them and walked in between those trees. All of a sudden, that air was cooler and moister, and it was like what I was telling you guys about the water. It was dewy and thick in there. And I looked in the direction they were pointing, and there was this beautiful cherry tree that had just bloomed. Gorgeous. And it was still and quieter than it was on the little path. And the little path I was walking on was fairly quiet. But this place was quieter. It was different. There was actually circles of mushrooms there, and I'm like, hey, if you're a bunch of fairies that just let me in here, do not take me out of here because I got to go home. But I saw it, and I had walked by that place hundreds of times, never noticed it. It was a matter of being aware of where I was and paying attention to the signs around me. And I swear, I felt my whole body charged by standing in that path that those two trees led me to stand in. The grass was greener there. The plants were greener there. The air was different. The water was different. It was cooler. It felt so nice.
Hmm. Sounds like there was a spring. There's probably a spring underneath or behind the cherry tree or something like that.
Well, it's a building next to me. So underneath us, there is several crystal caves and most likely an underwater stream, because all around us is a circular river. So there may be something there, but whatever it was, I felt the resonance, and I heard something like a ringing sound, so you probably got that right exactly. Probably heard what I was thinking. Yeah.
Fairyland. Yeah, I've been talking to the fairies, local fairies. They're very happy I'm here, apparently. I was talking to somebody on the phone, and they said, excuse me, can we just say... And they channeled a message through. All right, thank you very much. Very, very sweet. Very, very sweet. So there's like a fairy collective here. There's a piece in... on the Revolution Radio roundtable things. We're a narco-syndicalist commune with we have bi-weekly meetings which are ratified by and all that stuff. It feels like a kind of fairy version of that. A narco-syndicalist commune. But I don't think they need bi-weekly meetings, because they're probably all telepathic and they just know.
I would hope so.
Yeah, you'd hope so. You'd think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, maybe that's one of those unknown hominids. Because, you know, the more they look into things and start admitting things, there is a lot of different kinds of hominids out there. there's still an African tribe that's not spoken of much, but still in existence, that still have those big, the back head part. They're still in existence. They haven't gone away. They haven't left Earth. They're still here. And probably all of our myths are true. And as much as I say it's obvious. It is obvious 100% that there has been thousands and thousands of meteors that brought life to this Earth. And our views of life are so limited. It's a consciousness. So, of course, when it collects, it becomes a being. It must. I think life is not rare. I think it's an imperative. There must be life. Everywhere.
You know, it's getting more and more like we wouldn't know the difference if some family did come from Mars or not, you know, or if they did come from Venus. People seem to be people. We're all human. We're all hominids.
There must be some kind of essential thing. We have all kinds of beings here. I can guarantee each and every one of us are surrounded by at least a billion things that we are unaware of right now, alive, with you. So who's to say? We can't take our narrow view of what life is just because we can't see it. And the more they allow stuff out about what DNA is, what the proteins are that were unnamed, how we can change just by thought, just by environment. I'm sure we go out and there's a certain amount of things that are out there that still follow the same rules. So many of them will look like us. And I don't think if we would notice them walking right beside us down the street as different. We are still on about skin color, which race is myth. It's a myth. The more they look at it, it's a myth, guys. There are no races here. There are shades of skin. That's it. Deal with it. Planet Earth. We like any kind of hominid, apparently.
Any hominid will do. No matter how hairy, we'll have one. This is the second ray, the all-accepting, ever-expanding consciousness that is the second ray of love, wisdom. Everybody come, we'll integrate it.
Love happens. You know why? I've seen pictures of, and more of these are coming on the internet, which I think is cool too. Like, animals who should not be friends. Specifically, I saw this, the cutest one ever, like this tiny monkey. This woman's been raising him, but he's raised in a family. They're just, I guess something had happened, and anyway, they took him in. So she'd been gone for a week, and they didn't think the monkey would remember her. She came in, and it let out this scream. And grabbed her and held on to her. I've been watching this cat and this owl who are like best friends. I saw a lion and tiger and bear. Oh my. Who are like fast friends. Because they were raised as babies, cubs, actually together. And they're buddies. They hang out. They couldn't separate them because they started to die when they separated them. So they put them back together. Unfortunately in the zoo. But it's a relatively nice one. And they're happy with each other. You know, it's a family. If they could do it, why are we not doing it? The whole stuff about do not let the races mix. That's so stupid because they didn't realize they all have black DNA. Every single one of us here, we all are mixed with whatever our skin color is, whatever the color of our eyes are, the color of our hair. We're all mixed here, and probably all kinds of species that are really surprise you when they start bringing out the other stuff. So, you know, family. We need to be family.
So, this is very interesting because, you know, this is a basis of what they call sex magic, is separating certain bloodlines to concentrate DNA, you know, in certain ways, which is the old, old game of these, you know, they're all into breeding. That's their game, and it's a very interesting thing. So, all of the things that shouldn't have happened, you know, all these little interbreedings, it's a bit like the internet. It's creating networks of. Well, here's the thing, right? And this is, I think, what we're talking about: that we know that there's a natural evolution. But there is also a kind of GMO, like Monsanto evolution, which is what they call transhumanism, which is what they're trying to push it in a particular direction, and it's pretty Borg-like.
And there's that too. And everybody listening to us has eaten something with it, drank something with it. Every single one of us on this planet are also being steered in a certain genetic line. But I have to believe there are certain rules because we're still here. No matter what their master plan is, they can't really hurt us if we don't allow it. We just have to not let it. So we've got a whole bunch of new information that is weird. Confusing, but you know, the spider, what they make is a spider tomato. We're a little spider. I saw a picture today where a shark's brain looks exactly like a uterus.
Oh yeah, I saw that, so watch out.
So, you know, people say that we are not everything that's here. You need to look a little deeper. Because, yes, we are. Everything that's here. Embrace it. Too late for them. The ones who have been intermarrying and intermarrying, well, they're all like crazy. Because that's what it does. You need information. This planet has given us a whole bunch of different shades and textures for a reason. We require it. We just do. I don't know why. We just do. And of course, there was probably some genetic manipulation. It's happening now. I'm sure it's happened many, many times. But it doesn't matter. So what? We will survive this like we've survived every other thing. Maybe not in this form, but we can get to it. We can. We just have to want to. But that's a big thing. That's the major thing. We have to decide we want to and not give up.
And love whoever it seems to be the one you want to love. So,
love because you want to, because you love that person. It may not last forever. Forever is a matter of time here. Things change. They always do. That doesn't mean that person goes. In your head, you can always have that person. In your body, too. I read this article about how women carry actual DNA from all their past lovers, whether they've had a child with them or not. So we are not separate. We can't be. It's too late.
It's too late, baby. So
way too late.
It's pretty late right now. We're okay. So there's the think tank starting. So we're coming towards the. Oh yes, of course, because you're. Oh yeah. Hey. Okay. So hey. In the closing 3 minutes, Tracy, you've changed. You've modified your roles. What are you up to these days? You're doing some producing, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm helping out with some producing on Wolf Spirit Radio. So Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm producing. Monday, I'm producing Dolly and Colleen's show. And they're doing some readings on Wednesday. I'm producing the Think Tank. No, that's Friday. Friday, Think Tank. Wednesday, Michelle's show. And still Tuesday and Thursday, I'm doing Turtle Island News. And Friday, we also have the Heart Drum. And Saturday, we have the Heart Drum. So, yeah. Doing a little bit more, feeling stronger, and it's nice when I'm just producing. I just sit there.
Yeah, it's quite a nice. It's a doddle, as we say. But you do have to be. I mean, you can't just sit there. You can't. You have to be kind of quite on the ball. But it's
can ask you questions, right?
Yeah, it's right, so better. It's restful for the body.
Yeah. Well, I prepare my shows. Like, I am very anal and that kind of stuff. And I have 45 freaking windows open just in case someone asks me a question, I want to get it. But, you know, when I'm producing, they just don't want input. Input I can give. Talking, I've been trained forever. I'm a girl. I am perfect talking on the phone. Feels like that. Thank you so much for having me on, JP. When is your next show?
Well, I have our dear friend William Stillings, Brett Stillings. He's on tomorrow on Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio, revolution-radio.com. Please does punch. Anyway, so yeah, just after Sean's show on the other side, just tune in to Revolution Radio, or indeed stay here all the time, and eventually the player will come back about this time tomorrow, and you'll hear me talking to Stillings. Now, Stillings is a genius, and he's just created a battery that runs over Unity for a laptop, which is basically, it puts out lots of energy, more than you put in, and runs a long time, and it's really good. We'll talk about it. It's a new form of battery. It's brilliant.
That's exciting.
Crystal. It's a kind of like a crystal battery, like an organite.
Oh, did you see that one I put up?
Hutchison?
I wouldn't make it, but it's scary.
What's that?
The voice crystal battery that talks to you.
The voice crystal battery that talks to you.
Yeah, and apparently it gets frequencies that are odd, and it sounds like people are talking to you. I want to make that.
Oh, the Tesla coil thing.
Oh, God, we got to make that one.
Oh, yeah, that looks like fun.
Oh, for sure.
Flat coils. Anyway, on this note. On that note, thanks very much, Tracy Kennedy. When's your next show?
My next show is Tuesday from 12 to 2 Eastern Standard Time for the Turtle Island News.info, and then I'm going to talk to JP and hopefully have him on sometime this week.
Beyond. Good night, everybody.